Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I have to tell you, at 6:34, something like that, we cut into Fox and Friends and started carrying President Trump's interview on Fox and Friends live, and we carried it for about 11 minutes, roughly. You were able to listen to it here. He just finished about a minute and a half ago. As I walked back from my office to the studio, they were just saying goodbye to him. So he went for almost 40 minutes on Fox and Friends this morning. They just carried it straight through, no commercial breaks or anything.
I know I'll anger some people when I say this. It bothers me how he just rambles. When they ask him a question on, okay, the Democrats are standing up there at the DNC and they're saying how you're going to, you know, cut Social Security and Medicare and you're going to do a nationwide ban on abortion. He has spoken out. He has said that he's not doing those things very clearly on multiple occasions. So I wish that Trump would just say, I have said I won't do that. I've said I won't do this. But instead, he just rambles. And yeah, he makes some really great points, but it takes away sometimes from his message. And again, I know some of you are going to be irritated. How dare you criticize Trump?
No.
Well, guess what? That bothers me. Does it mean I'm not going to vote for him? Of course not. He's got my vote. But I wish he would just stick to more concise messaging.
He could be more on message.
A little bit.
But the refreshing thing about Donald Trump, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is that he has blown up what a practiced, polished politician is. He's blown up the image of that. And quite frankly, I don't want that anymore. I don't want somebody with practiced answers who I can't get a straight answer out of, like Dick Durbin. You can't interview Dick Durbin and get a straight answer out of him because he's got preset points he's going to make, and it doesn't matter what you ask him. And with Trump, you at least feel like you're talking to a regular person who might ramble occasionally in their answer to you, but they haven't stood in front of a mirror and practiced it.
I agree with that.
And while I agree he can be a little more on message, and he's done this during the debates too, I don't want to go back to Slick Willie, quite frankly.
I agree. It's refreshing. I think we needed that change, and I like that Trump is not super rehearsed, but I think you can still not be rehearsed, but also be more concise and actually answer the question.
Well, I'm going to play you some of the president's comments this morning. He did make a couple of good points on there, and I grabbed those for you during the break. We're going to get to that. We've got Jim Talent coming up, former, of course, U.S. Senator, to get his take on the DNC so far. And maybe on those jobs numbers that they've fudged and how in the world that happened. And then at the bottom of the hour, Parents Defending Education, Erica Sanzi is going to join us. And they have discovered that a number of Missouri school districts, I don't know if they've looked at Illinois, I'll ask her when we get her on here, have programs, plans, policies that don't require schools to notify parents if the kids are referred to by a different gender at school. It's absolutely insane. We're going to get Erica on here at about 7:35 this morning. And right now, I want to get to the top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Then I have to listen to a lightweight like this get up and absolutely lie. But they all lied. And they mentioned my name. I read where, and frankly, I watched where you said, your group said, you said specifically. I think they mentioned me 297 times. They mentioned the border once.
Yep. One of the great points Donald Trump made this morning during his interview with Fox and Friends that went probably 40 minutes straight. We'll be back with more of that coming up.
IVF and fertility treatments. And this is personal for Gwen and I. If you've never experienced the hell that is infertility, I guarantee you know somebody who has.
Yeah, Mr. Waltz there, the vice presidential candidate for the Dems, trying to defend his comments of lying about IVF. Because the fertility treatment he and his wife had nothing to do with freezing embryos, then destroying them. Nothing at all.
Ask for their help and then follow our leader, Kamala. We need Kamala Harris.
What is wrong with Bill Clinton? I don't know what's wrong with him, but he sounded like the old man in dog patch there at the convention last night and mispronounced Kamala's name twice.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now, after 70 days, we can go back getting crazy. Right?
One of the speakers at a Black Caucus meeting during the Democratic National Convention yesterday. Sometimes when they tell you who they are, you've got to believe them. We can be crazy as we want in 70 days. We got to tone it down for right now so we can fool the American people into believing that we're telling them the truth during this TV Steven Spielberg-like production that is the DNC. That's basically what it is. Scott Jennings even called him out on this in CNN, and they were not happy about this at all. They didn't like it, but this is what Jennings said last night after watching Nancy Pelosi and Bill Clinton and then Tim Walz speak at the Democrat National Convention.
Nobody tonight said a damn thing. They want you to vote for a ticket based on absolutely no concrete idea about what they would do once they get in office. You said he got more progressive when he got elected governor. So you're saying every time he gets another office, he gets more and more progressive. I think that's exactly what would happen. Tonight, you did hear people say, well, we may not agree with him on everything, but at least it'll be joyful as they tax us into oblivion. I think the idea that you could run an entire presidential campaign based on the idea of vote for me to find out what's in it.
Wait a minute.
It
should terrify every American. Anderson Cooper couldn't stand it. Anderson Cooper hated the fact that he pointed that out and tried to counter it. Well, Donald Trump does the same thing. He's never specific on anything. He's pretty specific. He would cut your taxes. He would cut regulations like he did before. They had to cut two or three regulations for any new one that was going to be approved. He had specific plans for that. He's going to drill, which means using the oil that's in the ground. All of those are specifics. You don't get any of those when you listen to anybody at the Democratic convention, because he's absolutely right. They don't want you to know what they're about to do to you. Just like this.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works for the Democrats.
Well, you can't even make the argument, well, we know if we elect Kamala that it's going to be similar to Joe Biden, because arguably, yes, but she's tried to distance herself from his policies. So you really don't know. I think people just say, well, I really want to support abortion and I want someone who's more progressive than Trump, or I just hate, even though I like Trump's policies, I hate Trump.
Yeah.
Therefore, Kamala has my vote.
Well,
I mean, that's the reasoning.
I'm going to play you the ad from that they're running about her right now in the swing states. You're not hearing it here, but you need to hear it. And I'm going to play that for you when we come back, and we'll get reaction from Jim Talent, former Missouri senator. Stay tuned.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yeah, I am radical. We need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously.
As President of the United States, I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance.
Let's eliminate all of them.
But would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid, but people
to
reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
This whole movement is about rightly saying we need to take a look at these budgets.
Harris asserted that ICE is perceived as the modern-day Ku Klux Klan.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me? I see no peril.
I'm not finished.
I see none.
And yeah, I am radical. We need to get radical about what we are doing.
We got former Senator Jim Talent on the phone with us this morning. Jim, that was an ad that the Trump campaign is playing in the swing states right now. Effective? Sounds to me like the message he needs.
Yeah, they're hitting all the right notes, and they just need to be
disciplined in continuing to do that. And from what I've seen, they really are. I mean, the last 3 weeks for the Democrats has been about getting their base back, Mark. I mean, when you got a 26% right track number in the country, it means you've got a whole lot of your own people who are disaffected. So they're trying to pretend like the last 3.5 years haven't happened and that Kamala Harris isn't connected with it. And did you notice that Clinton said in his speech, there's a load off our shoulders? So what they're really, this is a message, I think, mostly to their own voters. And I think what they're saying is, look, we've got rid of the silly old man and he's responsible for the things that are hurting you. And so you can come back and vote for us. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how well that message folds up, even with Democrats, when she has to come out of hiding.
We were just playing a live interview between Fox and Friends and Donald Trump, and he made the point that so far at the DNC, they've mentioned his name some like 200, I think, and 97 times. They mentioned the border once. I don't know if you've caught any of the DNC, but if so, I mean, what are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, I mean, they don't, it's what I just mentioned, Kim. I mean, they're having to pretend because the country has passed its verdict on the last 3.5 years. So they're trying to say it hasn't happened. And again, I think the point for them is to get their own base back and make them enthusiastic. And they've made a lot of progress towards accomplishing that. Now, whether that's going to work with the middle is very problematic. And again, what happens when she has to come out of hiding? I mean, an interesting question for me is whether she's hiding because her handlers are afraid of what she'll do or because she's afraid of it.
Yeah.
Because when I watch when she does, like she did a brief exchange on how she's going to pay for her various proposals, you know, the price controls and the other thing. And I was watching her and the impression I got was, I really don't want to be here. I want this interview to end. It was not a confident exchange. Forget about whether it was a good exchange. It was not confident. So I'm kind of, as an old campaigner myself, I'm kind of watching for that.
Yeah. Have you ever met RFK Jr.?
I don't believe I have. No.
I wondered what you think, because all of the stories coming out of, well, both mainstream and conservative media this morning is that he's got a news conference scheduled for tomorrow in the same general area where Donald Trump is holding a campaign event. And the belief is he will withdraw from the race and endorse Trump. In your opinion, will that help Donald Trump or hurt him?
Oh, sure. I don't see how it can hurt him. You know, whether it helps him, it should. I mean, Kennedy has... Look, I think a lot of the things he believes are kind of crazy, but he's sincere in believing them. And he's right in believing that he's been treated in a massively unfair way. And, of course, he's not used to that. You know, he's a Kennedy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, he's not going to just sit there and go gently into that good night. So, yeah, I think it probably will help President Trump. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't. And we'll see what he decides to do. But I mean, again, they've done this because they couldn't have anybody. They didn't want him on the ballot because they thought Biden is so weak, he's going to take votes from Biden, which I think is probably true.
Yeah.
Now, the situation now is more murky. In other words, whether if he stays on the ballot, he would take more from Trump. I kind of think he wouldn't. I think he'd take more from Harris, but we'll see.
Jim, I got about a minute and a half left here. Yesterday, we got a phone call. We're taking comments from listeners about getting a robocall from Gavin Newsom telling her a text, telling her to get out and bring the Democratic vote in Missouri for November. Do you worry at all that this abortion issue being on the ballot it gives Democrats, at least down ballot, a better shot this time around?
I think it could. I'm a lot less concerned about it than I was 2 years ago because the issue still has resonance. There's no question. That's why they're, you know, every speech mentions it at the convention, right? It's a safe thing for them to talk about and at least a mildly helpful thing for them to talk about. But I don't think it has as much resonance as it had 2 years ago.
Well, I hope you're correct on that, because we're going to do all we can to help with the No on Amendment 3 movement around here,
right,
to make people wake up to what they're actually voting for in that particular case. Jim, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
You are welcome.
All right. Talk to you soon. Former Senator Jim Talent there. I don't know what to think about that, but if they're spending money, clearly, if they're running digital ads and sending group text messages to people trying to get them to the polls in Missouri, maybe they think Lucas Kuntz has a chance. I don't think so. But if you look at his ads, he's running from being a Democrat. I can tell you that. He wants you to forget that he's a Democrat. Coming up, we'll talk about school policies regarding when parents have to be informed if their child changes genders. And it happens a lot in Missouri. We'll be back.
That is, without a doubt, the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this may rank up there. I don't know, for you who are parents in the Parkway School District, I'm looking at a memo from Parkway. It's an internal document, by the way, regarding talking points for discussions with students and about students who are transgender or gender diverse. And what it says is that their policy is that Parkway staff and students must address other students who are transgender or gender diverse by the correct pronouns and names. Oh my, but please let me be the parent that gets called to the school because my kid is in trouble for not referring to a boy as a girl just because their mind is mixed up. Please let me be the one. And my kid's not in Parkway, but if my kid was, I would beg that that happened, because that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And this is not unusual. Our friends from Parents Defending Education have found many examples of policies like this. Erica Sanzi is with us, PD's Director of Outreach. And Erica, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. Love that you got particularly this internal document from Parkway. Now, those of us who know of Parkway know of its history of wokeness in the Parkway School District. It all gets back to the superintendent out there. They're the ones that were referring groups of young girls to the transgender clinic at Washington University before they closed it down. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on here.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, Parkway is just not an outlier. We have been looking at this now for a couple years, and these policies that you guys are discussing, whether it's about, you know, withholding information from parents that their child is spending their day at school, you know, existing as or going by a different gender identity and using different accommodations, if it's this compelled speech where suddenly our kids are expected to use made up words to refer to students in their class. This is common, because it all comes down from on high. So in my state, I live in Rhode Island, it happens because a guidance document came out from the State Department of Education. In some other places, like Idaho, for example, we saw that the policies were all copied and pasted from the National School Boards Association. And so what happens is these entities, whether it's your State Department of Education or whether it's the School Boards Association, they just go into these advocacy groups, that these LGBTQ advocacy groups who, because they got marriage equality passed, now they focus really just on issues around gender. These are radical and extreme groups and policies, and school districts are just copying and pasting their language into their policy handbooks, because that's what's coming down to them from, again, their state departments of ed or the school board association. And often the people working in these districts don't even realize what the policies are that they're supposed to follow, and the parents are almost always unaware.
Wow. I know you said that Parkway is certainly not an outlier. I mean, and I don't know if you know of any Illinois districts that would fall under this category, but if you had a guess, what percentage of schools do you think have something like this in place and parents might just have no idea?
Oh, I would say that on this particular topic, right, so around this gender issue of pronouns and withholding information from parents, and allowing students to self-identify into single-sex spaces of their choice, I would say that we are well over 50%.
That's stunning.
I mean, I would probably put it close to 70%, just based on what I have seen over the past couple of years. I mean, we only have 13 people who work for us at Parents Defending Ed, and we've already been able to document 19,783 schools, 1,098 districts, and 11,500,000 students affected. And again, that's just our little team that where we have like one or two people looking through documents. Did you ask about Illinois? Let me just see. I actually could pull up Illinois.
Yeah, if you had any districts in Illinois that would fall under this category.
Gosh, so I mean, Illinois, it's a long list. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No, I mean, like in southern Illinois, I'm just wondering because specifically I mentioned coming out in the story that there were a lot of Missouri schools doing this. I mean, I assumed it's going on in southern Illinois as well.
Since I don't know the geography of Illinois very well, I'm not positive, but I can say that I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have probably about 20 districts in Illinois that I'm looking at right here where we have the documentation is on our website.
Not surprised.
Wow. So, now, Erica, is it not true that in many of these cases, because I looked at a little bit of this on that internal document from Parkway, they blame it on Title IX, even though we know that the active bureaucrats in the Biden and then the Obama administration before that, they manipulate Title IX to say whatever they want it to say.
Right. Well, first of all, Title IX has been being used as an explanation, and it just doesn't make any sense because it wasn't until August 1st, so a couple weeks ago, that the Biden rewrite of Title IX took effect. So anyone that was saying that prior to August 1st was wrong. And there has been a lot of legitimate confusion about this because everybody is just like saying all sorts of different stuff and people don't really know what's true.
Right.
Now, it is true that as of August 1st, this horrendous rewrite of Title IX. So Congress passes this law I think it was 1972 or 1973 to ensure that girls and women would have, you know, equal access to sports, basically. But all Title IX says, it's 37 words, and it just says that you can't discriminate on the basis of sex in any institution, educational institutions that receive federal funds. That's all it says.
Right.
Now, it's a gazillion pages, and what the Biden administration has done is they've expanded the definition of sex to include gender identity, which means that now Title IX says that you can self-identify into any activity and any single-sex space. So you're a male and you are going to say you identify as a female. That means you can use all of the female accommodations. You can join the girls' swim team. You can that's what it says. Now, in 26 states right now have gotten injunctive relief. So 26 states sued. And the Supreme Court came back last week to confirm that they can, this law is blocked in those 26 states.
Good.
In the states like where I live, where our governor and our attorney general either think this is all just fine or just toe the party line. So they know it's wrong, which is what I think most of them feel. Right. They know it's wrong, but they're going along with the party right now. So they didn't do anything. So in 24 states, and I believe Illinois is one of them. I don't think Illinois took any action to block the implementation of this new Title IX rewrite. It changed as of August.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this may rank up there. I don't know, for you who are parents in the Parkway School District, I'm looking at a memo from Parkway. It's an internal document, by the way, regarding talking points for discussions with students and about students who are transgender or gender diverse. And what it says is that their policy is that Parkway staff and students must address other students who are transgender or gender diverse by the correct pronouns and names. Oh, my. But please let me be the parent that gets called to the school because my kid is in trouble for not referring to a boy as a girl just because their mind is mixed up. Please let me be the one. Now, my kid's not in Parkway, but if my kid was, I would beg that happened. because that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And this is not unusual. Our friends from Parents Defending Education have found many examples of policies like this. Erica Sanzi's with us, PD's Director of Outreach. And Erica, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. Love that you got particularly this internal document from Parkway. Now, those of us who know of Parkway know of its history of wokeness in the Parkway School District. It all gets back to the superintendent out there. They're the ones that were referring groups of young girls to the transgender clinic at Washington University before they closed it down. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on here.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, Parkway is just not an outlier. We have been looking at this now for a couple years, and these policies that you guys are discussing, whether it's about, you know, withholding information from parents that their child is spending their day at school, you know, existing as or going by a different gender identity and using different accommodations, if it's this compelled speech where suddenly our kids are expected to use made up words to refer to students in their class. This is common because it all comes down from on high. So in my state, I live in Rhode Island, it happens because a guidance document came out from the State Department of Education. In some other places, like Idaho, for example, we saw that the policies were all copied and pasted from the National School Boards Association. And so what happens is these entities, whether it's your State Department of Education or whether it's the School Boards Association, they just go into these advocacy groups, that these LGBTQ advocacy groups who, because they got marriage equality passed, now they focus really just on issues around gender. These are radical and extreme groups and policies, and school districts are just copying and pasting their language into their policy handbooks because that's what's coming down to them from, again, their state departments of ed or the school board association. And often the people working in these districts don't even realize what the policies are that they're supposed to follow, and the parents are almost always unaware.
Wow. I know you said that Parkway is certainly not an outlier. I mean, and I don't know if you know of any Illinois districts that would fall under this category, but if you had a guess, what percentage of schools do you think have something like this in place and parents might just have no idea?
Oh, I would say that on this particular topic, right, so around this gender issue of pronouns and withholding information from parents, and allowing students to self-identify into single-sex spaces of their choice, I would say that we are well over 50%.
That's stunning.
I mean, I would probably put it close to 70% just based on what I have seen over the past couple of years. I mean, we only have 13 people who work for us at Parents Defending Ed, and we've already been able to document 19,783 schools, 1,098 districts, and 11,500,000 students affected. And again, that's just our little team that where we have like one or two people looking through documents. Did you ask about Illinois? Let me just see. I actually could pull up Illinois.
Yeah, if you had any districts in Illinois that would fall under this category.
Gosh, so I mean, Illinois, it's a long list. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No, I mean, we just want, like in Southern Illinois, I'm just wondering because specifically I mentioned coming out in the story that there were a lot of Missouri schools doing this. I mean, I assumed it's going on in Southern Illinois as well.
Since I don't know the geography of Illinois very well, I'm yes. not positive, but I can say that I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have probably about 20 districts in Illinois that I'm looking at right here where we have the documentation is on our website.
Not yeah. surprised.
Wow. So, now, Erica, is it not true that in many of these cases, because I looked at a little bit of this on that internal document from Parkway, they blame it on Title IX, even though we know that the active bureaucrats in the Biden and then the Obama administration before that, they manipulate Title IX to say whatever they want it to say.
Right. Well, first of all, Title IX has been being used as an explanation, and it just doesn't make any sense because it wasn't until August 1st, so a couple weeks ago, that the Biden rewrite of Title IX took effect. So anyone that was saying that prior to August 1st
was wrong. And there has been a lot of legitimate confusion about this because everybody is just like saying all sorts of different stuff and people don't really know what's true.
Right.
Now, it is true that as of August 1st, this horrendous rewrite of Title IX. So, right, you know, so Congress passes this law in the, I think it was 1972 or 1973, to ensure that girls and women would have, you know, equal access to sports, basically. But all Title IX says, it's 37 words, and it just says that you can't discriminate on the basis of sex in any institution, educational institutions that receive federal funds. That's all it says.
Right.
Now, it's a gazillion pages. And what the Biden administration has done is they've expanded the definition of sex to include gender identity, which means that now Title IX says that you can self-identify into any activity and any single-sex space. So you're a male and you're going to say you identify as a female. That means you can use all of the female accommodations. You can join the girls' swim team. You can. That's what it says. Now, in 26 states right now have gotten injunctive relief. So 26 states sued, and the Supreme Court came back last week to confirm that they can this law is blocked in those 26 states.
Good.
In the states like where I live, where our governor and our attorney general either think this is all just fine or just toe the party line, so they know it's wrong, which is what I think most of them feel. Right. They know it's wrong, but they're going along with the party right now, so they didn't do anything. So in 24 states, and I believe Illinois is one of them, I don't think Illinois took any action to block the implementation of this new Title IX rewrite. It changed as of August 1st.
Wow.
So it is very confusing. A lot of schools are in limbo right now. But to your point, when they were saying this, I mean, they were saying this about Title IX a year ago, and at that time, that was just incorrect, because at that time, gender identity wasn't in Title IX. It didn't, you know, it just wasn't a thing. But now, unfortunately, we're redefining all of the terms that all meant the same thing to all of us until 5 minutes ago.
Of course. That that's what they're after, right? And I don't want to get into the weeds on this. I'm not an attorney. It struck me that Chevron decision the Supreme Court passed doesn't allow federal bureaucracies to just rewrite the laws. I wonder why that doesn't apply to Title IX.
I mean, who knows? It may. I think that this Title IX rewrite, which to your point is they circumvented Congress because they knew they would never get this passed, and they suddenly just completely changed and they flipped this law on its head because they actually, basically the whole point of it now is sort of unraveled by the way that they've changed it. And so particularly around the fairness and safety of girls and women in sports. So I hope that that's true. I think that this is going to have a lot of problems in the Supreme Court. Again, I'm not a lawyer either, so I hate talking about legal stuff because I feel like the language is so precise and I don't want to get it wrong. But the Supreme Court indicated last week when they said that this injunctive relief can stick in these 26 states, I think it's in part because I think this is going to be in big trouble for lots of different reasons.
Yes.
I just don't totally understand it because I don't have that legal mind. And if you guys ever wanted to have someone on who can speak to that, we have smarter people who know more about the legal stuff.
I get it. Well, Eric, I appreciate the information. It should be eye-opening for a lot of parents. It drives home the importance of getting people with some common sense on local school boards who can maybe push back on this stuff a little bit. Remind me of the Parents Defending Education website again.
Sure. Our website is defendinged.org. And if people are curious about, you know, what districts have these policies that we're talking about, because all of the ones we're talking about do deliberately withhold information from parents about their own children.
Yes.
That is on our homepage. It's called like our gender. I think it's called our school list of school district transgender policies or something like that.
Very
so people
good.
Can take a look.
Erica, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, great information. Kim, what's on the whim?
Well, we're talking about people who identify as conservative, but they are still pro-choice. We're asking you right now. You have a few minutes to do it. Call in, or I should say, leave us a voice memo on the Odyssey app. Let us know. Do you feel that way? Do you have friends or family members who feel that way? We want to hear from you because we're going to talk about that here coming up.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
How many of you would call yourselves a conservative? You're fiscally conservative? But when it comes to abortion, you support that. You would call yourself pro-choice. Maybe you're not fitting in that category, but you have a family member or a close friend of yours and you're getting into arguments about it. I think there's a greater percentage of people who would describe themselves in that way than we want to think. I used to feel that way, actually, and things changed for me, as I've said, in 2020, and now it's almost hard for me to understand how someone could. Now, obviously, I'm a Christian, okay, and that's where I get my belief on that, because there's a bunch of scripture that would back that up. Isaiah 49:1, Luke 1:15, Jeremiah 1:5, I could go on and on. Not every conservative is Christian. I don't understand how you can be a Christian and justify that in my mind. But even as a conservative, I guess I just feel like, yes, I mean, is this a religious issue? Yes, but I would also argue it's a human rights issue. This is about life and death.
It's a science issue. It's a science issue, too.
Right.
Even for the people that argue that, well, you know, you're like Tim Walz. Leave me the hell alone, is what he said at the Democratic convention last night. Let me do what I want. You can even be a libertarian on that issue, but I don't know how you deny the science.
Yeah.
That the heartbeat you detect at 6 or 8 weeks in a fetus is the same one that's beating in their heart right now. When I hold my grandson and I feel his heart beating in his chest, that's the same heartbeat they detected at 6 weeks.
Right.
How can you tell me that if you end that life, it's not the same as taking a gun and killing somebody who's walking around right now on Earth?
Right.
It's the same thing. And to me, that's a science issue, even if it's not a religious issue for you. So that's where I part ways with a lot of these people that want to have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get off the fence. You need to look at the reality of this situation and realize that abortion has become a common use of birth control in this country.
Yep.
You're selfish. You want to go have sex unprotected. You get knocked up, and hey, we're just going to erase it like it never happened.
We've been asking people to comment on the Odyssey app. There's a little microphone you can hit. Leave us a message, and I want to play the one that we have.
Good morning, Mark Cox crew and listeners. I am a conservative and I'm pro-life. Now, I used to think like him in my high school and college days, your business, your choice. But now, as I started getting into the Word of God, the Bible, I was reading how in the Old and the New Testament, people were sacrificing their babies to all these different gods. And then I had an epiphany. I thought, you know what? Wow. Here in America, we're no different with abortion killing our babies for our God of convenience. And for those who want to throw out the rape and incest card, here's a novel idea. How about going after the perpetrator and making the punishment severe enough that it would deter others from committing the crime?
Yeah, amen. By the way, just full disclosure, that actually is my mother-in-law.
Nice.
Which is really cool that she's my whole, I mean, all my in-laws are very pro-life, which is really great. My family is too. But that's true. It's the convenience factor that you talked about. There was a clip earlier this morning we played from Dawn. I don't know if we have time to play it, but I'd mentioned this movie Unplanned that talks about Abby Johnson, used to be the director of Planned Parenthood, had an epiphany, got out, now is very pro-life activist. Dawn was emotional on her voice message because she went and watched part of that video, said she got 10 minutes in and was like a puddle. Okay, if you are for abortion, here's what I would ask you to do. Please, please go watch the movie Unplanned, because I bet you that people don't realize how gruesome these abortion procedures are. It's just like out of mind, out of sight. They don't want to think about it because if they did, they might change their mind.
And maybe not even if you're just for abortion, but you just don't think it's any of your business. Those are the people I'd like to reach. If you just don't think, well, I just don't think it's my place to tell, go watch Unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if that doesn't change your mind about how horrific this procedure is and what we've done to millions of unborn human beings who should be among us today. It is emotional. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, we'll talk to Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins on the big JFK announcement, or RFK announcement expected tomorrow. Excuse me.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
How many of you would call yourselves a conservative? You're fiscally conservative? But when it comes to abortion, you support that. You would call yourself pro-choice. Maybe you're not fitting in that category, but you have a family member or a close friend of yours and you're getting into arguments about it. I think there's a greater percentage of people who would describe themselves in that way than we want to think. I used to feel that way, actually, and things changed for me, as I've said, in 2020, and now it's almost hard for me to understand how someone could. Now, obviously, I'm a Christian, okay, and that's where I get my belief on that, because there's a bunch of scripture that would back that up. Isaiah 49:1, Luke 1:15, Jeremiah 1:5. I could go on and on. Not every conservative is Christian. I don't understand how you can be a Christian and justify that in my mind. But even as a conservative, I guess I just feel like, yes, I mean, is this a religious issue? Yes, but I would also argue it's a human rights issue. This is about life and death.
It's a science issue. It's a science issue, too. Right. Even for the people that argue that, well, you know, you're like Tim Walz. Leave me the hell alone, is what he said at the Democratic convention last night. Let me do what I want. You can even be a libertarian on that issue, but I don't know how you deny the science.
Yeah.
That the heartbeat you detect at 6 or 8 weeks in a fetus is the same one that's beating in their heart right now. Like, when I hold my grandson and I feel his heart beating in his chest, that's the same heartbeat they detected at 6 weeks.
Right.
How can you tell me that if you end that life, it's not the same as taking a gun and killing somebody who's walking around right now on Earth?
Right.
It's the same thing. And to me, that's a science issue, even if it's not a religious issue for you. So that's where I part ways with a lot of these people that want to have it both ways. Mm-hmm. You need to get off the fence. You need to look at the reality of this situation and realize that abortion has become a common use of birth control in this country.
Yep.
You're selfish. You want to go have sex unprotected. You get knocked up, and hey, we're just going to erase it like it never happened.
We've been asking people to comment on the Odyssey app. There's a little microphone you can hit. Leave us a message, and I want to play the one that we have.
Good morning, Mark Cox crew and listeners. I am a conservative and I'm pro-life. Now, I used to think like him in my high school and college days, your business, your choice. But now, as I started getting into the Word of God, the Bible, I was reading how in the Old and the New Testament, people were sacrificing their babies to all these different gods. And then I had an epiphany. I thought, you know what? Wow. Here in America, we're no different with abortion, killing our babies for our God of convenience. And for those who want to throw out the rape and incest card, here's a novel idea. How about going after the perpetrator and making the punishment severe enough that it would deter others from committing the crime?
Yeah, amen. By the way, just full disclosure, that actually is my mother-in-law.
Nice.
Which is really cool that she's my whole, I mean, all my in-laws are very pro-life, which is really great. My family is too. But that's true. It's the convenience factor that you talked about. There was a clip earlier this morning we played from Dawn. I don't know if we have time to play it, but I'd mentioned this movie Unplanned that talks about Abby Johnson, used to be the director of Planned Parenthood, had an epiphany, got out, now is very pro-life activist. Dawn was emotional on her voice message because she went and watched part of that video, said she got 10 minutes in and was like a puddle. Okay, if you are for abortion, here's what I would ask you to do. Please, please go watch the movie Unplanned, because I bet you that people don't realize how gruesome these abortion procedures are. It's just like out of mind, out of sight. They don't want to think about it because if they did, they might change their mind.
And maybe not even if you're just for abortion, but you just don't think it's any of your business. Those are the people I'd like to reach. If you just don't think, well, I just don't think it's my place to tell, go watch Unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if that doesn't change your mind about how horrific this procedure is and what we've done to millions of unborn human beings who should be among us today. It is emotional. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, we'll talk to Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins on the big JFK announcement, or RFK announcement, expected tomorrow. Excuse me.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.